Welcome to Wellbeing and You with the counselling team at Western Sydney University. I'm Erin.
And I'm Paula. We're passionate about supporting students to make the most of the university experience.
With this podcast, we're going to introduce you to a few members of our team and tell you about many of the great services and resources here to help you at university. Let's get started.
Welcome to 2021.
Oh, thank you, Erin. Welcome to you too. Good riddance to 2020, I say.
Absolutely, absolutely. The beginning of this year has been a bit of a roller coaster, I will say that. But he's hoping for better things for this year to come. Actually, one of those things that's happening is really that move to many more things happening on campus. And so lots of change kind of ahead, I think, as we get ready for a new year.
Yes, it's exciting that we get to start to go back to some form of normal, I think.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that we always end up thinking about at this time of year is around how to get everything organised and sorted, like talking about how you manage your time, how you stay organised, how you stay effective. This is always a beginning of the year kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm. New Year's resolutions, yes, all of that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think particularly with uni, having such a long break over summer, if you haven't been doing any subjects, it can be so easy to fall out of those usual routines and patterns. And so I think there is this little bit of an orientation period as you get into a new semester and a new session starts, trying to figure out all those things again, like how am I going to get this organized and sorted so that I can kind of do my best and be kind of efficient. I'm curious, Paula, kind of for you in your practice, the students who you see who do really well at university, who are organised, who get things done, what sorts of things do you see them doing?
That's a really good question, Erin. I was just thinking as you were sort of going through that idea that, you know, it's a time when we start to kind of fall back out of our routines and now have to pick them back up again, that I think the students that do well are those who can acknowledge that that's not an easy task to do. Getting back into routines, you know, is both necessary, could be exciting, but it's also quite a scary prospect for some students. And even for those who aren't students, I know that going back to campus, you know, is a difficult idea to process at times for staff who've been off campus for such a long period of time. And I think that's okay, and that's very normal. So acknowledging that, you know, sometimes we feel a bit hesitant going back into our normal routines is okay. Yeah. Because I think once you acknowledge it, you can then start to work towards what is it that you might need to manage that, whatever it is that's come up for you. So a lot of the students that I talk to that tend to, you know, be really effective in this respect are those who are able to cope ahead of time. Sort of, you know, they know what is difficult for them to do, and they can plan ahead of time in order to kind of catch themselves, or at least to kind of put some scaffolding around that so that when things really get, you know, stressful and when time becomes limited, that they're able to fall back on some of these practices that they've thought about, you know, at the beginning of that journey.
Absolutely. I think the one thing when a student says to me, oh, I really can't work on anything unless it's the last minute, I think I feel the blood kind of draining from my face, because there's that sense of panic. It's like, please don't leave things to the last minute, because that is the ultimate recipe for really high levels of stress and getting overwhelmed. And and it has a tumble on kind of effect. It starts to affect other things kind of down the track. And the thing I see students who do really well, they are very much proactive. They don't leave things to the last minute. And that gives them the luxury of working on things over a longer period of time, but in smaller chunks, so that if they get overwhelmed or bored of it or realize they're on the wrong track and need to change, that they have the luxury of time to do that. You know, if you've given yourself only 8 hours kind of before the due date is, you know, to write a full essay, like you can't take a break from that. And that's where the pressure builds too much and, you know, is completely overwhelming for some people.
Absolutely. I agree, Erin. And I think that's something we often do as humans, like we tend to avoid because it's just kind of how we're built. And it also has really serious consequences a lot of the time. And you sort of named one of them. You become really stressed and overwhelmed, and then that kind of just shuts you down a little bit, which makes you less effective and less able to finish what you would like to.
I think that's the ultimate entry point for an avoidance cycle in terms of, you know, the pressure starts to build and it feels too much, so you want to avoid it. The more you avoid it, the pressure builds even more, and it just is such an easy, vicious cycle kind of to get stuck into.
It is. And it's important to acknowledge, you know, that we might feel the urge to do that at any point. And if so, then perhaps thinking of what is an alternative behaviour to that. And one of those things might be, how do I manage my time differently or be better? And what are your thoughts, Erin, about sort of what might be an alternative?
I think right from the beginning of semester, having an overview of where those points of stress are going to be is really, really useful. So anyone listening to this, I would encourage you to go on the counselling website, and we've got a section there for planners, time management and planners. Click on that link and you'll have access to both weekly and daily planners. But also the most valuable one of those, I think, is the session planner, which sets out kind of week by week. It gives you the opportunity to write down where you're going to have things due for each subject that you're enrolled in that week. And it's such a great visual representation of where those clusters of assignments are going to come together, because they often do, don't they? It's never paced out kind of completely evenly before, you know, between all of your units. There's often kind of, you know, competing demands that will happen throughout the semester where you have to make some decisions around, you know, which one you prioritize. So being aware of where those points of stress are going to be is so, so useful. And sometimes sharing that with your family as well, or the people you live with, is a great idea, so that they're aware. Okay, oh, look, I can see this is week 9, you know, they've got 10 things kind of due all around in this next 3 weeks. You know, maybe I can help out a little bit more on the home front, you know, that it gets that support from the people you live with.
Absolutely. And often it can be helpful just to ask for that support, you know, kind of just name it. So, you know, coming up to week 9, I'm going to need X or Y, or, you know, if you live on your own, it might be about you preparing meals in advance for that week and freezing them or something like that, that makes your life that little bit easier, so that you do have that extra space, you know, that mental space and time to focus on what you would need to focus on.
Because it is such a big commitment. I think, Paula, the rule of thumb is that each unit of study that people undertake, so each credit point, each 10 credit point unit should take about 10 hours a week of study, including the class time. So that's, you know, that's a really big commitment. Kind of, if you're doing 4 units, that's 40 hours a week, and really a little bit more, a couple hours more a week than a full-time kind of job.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is a big commitment. And, you know, I think everybody uses their time differently as well. You know, so it's, you know, what comes to mind is sometimes we can dedicate, you know, a particular time frame, but the quality of what we get out of that may be very different. So another thing that I would suggest or encourage students to do is to just allow for that space as well, allow for that flexibility, that sometimes we're not going to be as effective for whatever reason, even though we'd like to be.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, planning ahead of time and scheduling and doing exactly what you shared, Erin, is really important, because it allows you to feel like you have, you know, other pockets of time available, or you have a sense of control over what might be coming up, and therefore what might you be able to change if you need to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was just thinking too, you know, as you talk about that around prioritizing how you decide where you're going to spend your time. Mm-hmm. And I think it is really important that people know when they work most effectively, because we don't all work really well at the same time, kind of at the day, that some people are really good and really productive first thing in the morning. For other people, they need a lot longer to kind of warm up, and they might be more productive in the afternoon or the evening. So having that self-awareness, Paula, I think, as you mentioned, is important to be able to then use that strength of knowledge around when you work best to organize your time around that, so that you are using that time where you're most productive to get the work done.
Another thing that comes to mind for me when it comes to, you know, how to effectively kind of manage time is to be aware, I guess, of some of the barriers that might come up. Or anybody really, when you try to, you might sort of be really good at being able to organize yourself, and then when you go and sit down and actually engage in a task, whether it be reading or studying or writing or anything like that, there might be particular things that come up for you as an individual. And so it's really important to, you know, have that awareness and to think about what is it that I might need to do. And if you're not sure, you can always reach out, and that's what we're here for, reach out and have a chat to one of the counsellors from the counselling team, because there are so many strategies that we can share with you that are really helpful. An example of this might be, you know, you might sit down and be easily distracted for whatever reason, find it really hard to bring your attention back to the task at hand. And there may be a number of reasons for that. So it's really important to explore what's going on for you and really understand perhaps what might be motivating that, and therefore be able to address it most effectively.
Couldn't agree more, Paula. The students who I see that do really well at uni tend to treat it like a job, that they set themselves uni shifts and they're really protective of that time. And pre-COVID, one of the pieces of advice that I would always give people is to try getting out of the house to go study and go work, because we are so sensitive to the cues in our environment. And if you're trying to study and work in your bedroom, your brain kind of associates that space as a place of rest and a place of relaxation, not a place of productivity and work. So I would always say to people, you know, try coming to uni well before your classes and getting some work done here, or stay back after classes and get work done here. But that last year just became, you know, a really redundant kind of piece of advice. And it became, you know, more about how is your environment set up for work? You know, are there cues that this is a place of study, that this is where you're going to get your work done? Or are there cues in your environment for, you know, just relax, kick back, let's, you know, put Netflix on or something? I don't know.
Totally agree. Yeah. So important to have a space where you can, which is, you know, conducive to study.
One of the other things that comes to mind with time management as well, I tend to think that there are two kind of approaches that you can take to it. You can, you know, think about efficiency and planning and timetables and allocating time for that. But you can also think of it as evidence of your values, that it's a value decision as well, in that we put our time into the things that we value kind of the most. And I think kind of prioritizing things in that way of thinking about, am I spending my time in the things that are most important to me and are most consistent kind of with my values? You know, is it most important to me to be binge watching this fabulous new series? Or, you know, do my values point me in another direction for where I really want to be?
It's about making choices, isn't it? Being able to make a choice and feeling as though that choice has meaning to you. And I think that's one of the great ways that we stay motivated in anything that we do. It's about really connecting with what meaning do I attach to this, and is this a value that I hold really, really close to my heart? And the other thing I would say is, you know, reward yourself. Reward yourself when you are able to make those choices that really fit in line with your values. I think that's really important. It doesn't have to be a reward of you know, monetary kind of value. It can be just allowing yourself a break, having a cup of tea outside in the sun. It can be anything that's accessible to you that you enjoy, that's pleasant.
Yeah.
And that you're able to acknowledge this is something that I'm doing as a reward for being able to make a choice earlier.
Absolutely. We are not designed to work 100% of the time. That's just not the way our brains work. We do need those breaks and those points, you know, where we can rejuvenate and be refreshed so that we can, you know, go back and focus.
Stay motivated and go back and focus and feel that we have the resources to do that within ourselves because we've allowed ourselves that space.
Definitely. Plan to take breaks. Don't feel guilty about those. So Paula, to sum it up, what would be the top three tips you would give someone to sum it all up? Three things someone could do to manage their time effectively.
I would say just be aware. Be aware of, you know, the things that work for you, the things that don't work for you. Notice when you start to drop in motivation. And try to pick yourself up. And if you're not sure how to do that, reach out for support. We talked about two ways, which is looking at your values and rewarding yourself. They're really good ways to stay motivated. And allow yourself for compassion and flexibility, I think, when things don't go the way you would like them to. I think that's what comes to mind for me, the three main things. What about you, Erin? Your thoughts?
Top three. Use planners. Use planners. Use the session planner.
That's why I didn't say that.
This is why you are the best and most generous colleague. No, use the planners. Treat it like a job. Set yourself a uni shift and be really protective of that time. So if that means switching off your phone, making sure you're not, you know, getting lots of social media notifications while you're at your uni shift, really treat it like a job. And the third part, I would say, again, think about the environment that you are working and studying in, and is that set up to minimize distractions, or is it a really distraction-filled environment? Maybe I'll add a fourth one in there, Paula, and just to say, if anyone kind of is interested in learning a bit more about time management and some of the strategies that we've talked about, there is a module in Study Money and Life Skills that students can go in and work through, and all the current planners are there as well, and a couple of videos around how to use the planners. And a whole heap of different resources. So, yeah, if this is an area that you're struggling with, check out the Study Money and Life Skills module and work through those resources. You've got that in your list of views sites as well. So all students should have access to that in views.
Thank you, Erin.
No, thank you, Paula. It's good to have the first cab off the rank. First podcast for 2021. This is good. I look forward to many more this year. Hey,
as do I.